same time in the federal arena, the same arguments were made. Service is going to be lost. Carriers will go out of business, et cetera. If you look at competition in other industries, the same argument is made. It's basically the response of a monopolist to the prospect of having to compete. It is not something that is irreconcilable or insoluble. It does require some mechanical changes, and those mechanical changes are encompassed within this bill. The discussion has also been offered regarding GCI's subsidy, and I wanted to address that for just a second. GCI has an arrangement with AT&T, which is an outgrowth of an antitrust settlement agreement coming from a lawsuit that GCI filed against AT&T. And under that settlement agreement, GCI receives access to the AT&T network in the lower 48 at the cost of AT&T's access charge there, which means that GCI does not pay AT&T for hauling calls across the AT&T network. If you look at that situation from AT&T's perspective, it basically costs AT&T nothing. Given the small volume of traffic that GCI offers to the AT&T network in comparison with the amount of traffic AT&T carries, there's basically no cost to AT&T carrying that. If you look at that that arrangement from a marketplace point of view and say, for what price could GCI substitute another arrangement, the arrangement with AT&T turns out to be worth between 2 and 3 cents per minute to GCI for calls that actually transit AT&T through that arrangement, and not all calls do. If you look on the other hand at the Alascom arrangement with AT&T and the size of the subsidy Alascom receives, AT&T pegs the number at roughly $100 million a year. If you look at only those markets where GCI and Alascom compete and you reduce the subsidy to a per minute rate, it's about 12 cents a minute. And so the subsidy Alascom is receiving is about 12 cents per minute. The subsidy GCI receives through an antitrust settlement is between 2 and 3 cents per minute. And GCI's rates are slightly lower than Alascom's. That's one measure of efficiency and one measure of marketplace competition. The last thing I'd like to address is the question of how hard or how difficult it might be to implement competition in Alaska, and how hard or difficult it might have been in other states. Today, there are about 45 states that have some form of interstate competition, and of course intrastate competition, and of course there's competition in the interstate market as well. I have looked at the legislation that was passed in about 25 of those states, and there may be legislation in other states that I have not looked at, I'm sure there is, but in about 25 of those states, you have had legislation of some form or another passed to promote or implement competition. Generally speaking, the bills that have been passed in those other states are far more detailed and far more complex than the Senate bill. They go into the definition of a host of different types of services that will and won't be competitive. They talk about services that are emerging competitive, fully competitive, and all these sorts of things. The Senate bill leaves that kind of fleshing out and that kind of implementation to the APUC. But in at least a large number of those 25 other states, the state legislature has actually gone the step of implementing very complex and very detailed legislation. The argument's made that Alaska is a unique problem, and I think Alaska is a unique problem in some ways, but I don't think it's a unique problem in terms of the difficulty of implementing intrastate competition. In fact, I think it's easier than most other states. Intrastate competition has come along in most states after the AT&T divestiture, which occurred in 1984. In 1984, pursuant to the Justice Department antitrust case, the Bell operating companies, the local exchange companies that were owned by AT&T, were separated in ownership from AT&T and were formed into 7 regional holding companies. AT&T, on the other hand, continued to provide its inter-exchange service in a similar manner to the way Alascom provides its. Its role and function is very similar to what Alascom's is now. Following that time, well, in connection with that divestiture, it was necessary to decide how to divide up AT&T because the network was all connected And someone had to decide at what point the network would be disconnected for ownership purposes or divided up for ownership purposes. And Judge Green and the settling parties did this on the basis of something called a LATA, a local access and transport area. And all of the area in the lower 48 is divided into these LATAs. Within the LATAs, some states have only one LATA, but most have more than one. Within these LATAs, the old Bell operating companies that were spun off or separated from AT&T provide exchange service and inter-exchange service. Between the LATAs, AT&T provides the inter-exchange service. If you're in a state like New York or Colorado, and you approach the question of intrastate competition, the first thing you confront is the question of what to do about these LATAs. That is, what to do primarily, not about the AT&T part of the problem, not the inter-LATA problem, but what to do about the problem within the LATA, where an exchange company, an analog here would be ATU or FMUS, provides both toll and exchange service. And that's been a difficult problem for the states to grapple with because they have to dismember that somehow, figure out where the subsidy flows are, and come up with some fair way of implementing competition, and that's been a problem. Alaska has a totally different problem. From a structural point of view, Alaska looks already like the interstate market. We don't have any exchange carriers in Alaska that provide toll service the way they do in the lower 48. Our industry is divided very neatly and discreetly into 26 operating companies, which looks sort of like Bell operating companies, and one inter-exchange carrier, which looks like AT&T. And that's why in the Senate bill, the adoption of an interstate-style system with access charges, high-cost fund, and an exchange carrier association will work so well, because the structural features of the Alaska market are so similar to the interstate market. That is, you have discrete exchange and inter-exchange service providers. And I think for that reason, Alaska is actually a relatively easy problem for competition rather than a more difficult problem like you encounter in the lower 48 when you're trying to figure out how to dismember exchange companies that provide toll and exchange service within the same LATA or same area. That concludes the remarks that I have, and I'd be willing to address any questions.
Well, Mr. Edge, thank you very much. I don't have any questions more out of not knowing enough to ask the questions. Appreciate your testimony. We will be having our next meeting on this same subject on the 12th, and possibly others after that. State Affairs Attorney.